الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Summer is a time of outdoor activities. And you see that people gather together in the summertime to enjoy themselves. They have barbecues. They play sports. People go camping. And even in these periods of enjoyment, there are many things that we can learn. Just one very simple example. If you go camping, or even if you are setting up a barbecue, especially in camping, one of the key activities is to set up a campfire. So, you know, most of the day is spent preparing and playing and relaxing. And then once the sun begins to set, then people get excited about setting up a campfire. This is sort of the evening activity. And even this activity is not just for camping. This activity has actually been something that people have been doing since, you know, the beginning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put human beings on earth. So whenever it would become dark or whenever they wanted to cook, they would have to establish a fire. Now in this day and age, we don't have to think about it much because you just turn the stove on and it automatically lights the gas coming from, you know, the pipe. But for the vast majority of human history, people have had to light fires. And in lighting a fire, there's so much to learn. And probably the best way to explain it is to just say that there's two ways that a person can light a fire. I mean, there's many, many issues that go into this, but there's two ways that a person can create a campfire in this day and age, the way we do it. So there's people who are very inexperienced, like myself. They get wood, and then they douse it with lighter fluid. They say the more lighter fluid you put on, the bigger the fire will be, and the more likely it will be that these logs will catch on fire. So they take the wood. They don't think about how they're arranging it. They don't think how big the pieces are, how small the pieces are. They just load on the lighter fluid. And then what? They throw the match. And they get a huge fire. And the whole campsite, not even their area, the whole campsite is amazed. Look at these guys, how they created such an amazing fire. It's so high, it's so bright, it's producing so much heat. Then all of a sudden what happens? Within 10, 15 minutes, it disappears. You're blowing on it, you're kicking it, you're moving the logs around. It doesn't make a difference. So you go back, you get the lighter, you say, I need the lighter fluid. Right? Where's the lighter fluid? So you finish your bottle, you get your neighbors. You fill up, douse the entire thing with lighter fluid again. You light it, everybody sees a huge fire, everybody's amazed. And then what happens? It disappears very shortly. Why? Because they haven't done it the proper way. Now there's a second person. Second person knows how to light a fire. So they lay down a layer of newspaper, then they lay down a layer of Kindle, then after that they take larger twigs and then bigger sticks and then finally the big logs and they arrange them properly. They don't even need lighter fluid. Then what do? They just simply light it and it takes a while. You know, they have to wait and they have to fan it and they have to take care of it and they have to adjust it. But then eventually they get a proper fire burning. And then that fire will last the whole night. Last the whole night. They can continue to add wood to this. They can continue to add, fuel to the fire. And this fire is very easily to sustain for the rest of the evening. And that type of person, they gain tremendous benefit from the fire that they create. They can cook on it. They can warm themselves. They can provide light for their area, whatever it might be. Ajib, that this is the two ways by which people make campfires, but this is the exact same two ways that people ignite their heart with the love of Allah. The exact two ways that people, once they seek to create a fire of the love of Allah in their heart, it's the exact scenario. So there's one group of people, they want to create the love of Allah in their heart. They want to create an attachment to deen. They want to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they seek to achieve it by simply applying themselves at times of excitement. Meaning they like to put on the lighter fluid and just start the fire. So they get excited, there's a big conference coming up, they get excited about the conference, there's some big event coming up, they throw the fluid of that event on their fire, and then they have this huge flame. You know, they go to a talk and they get super excited, they get super elevated. And they think that at that moment when they're so elevated that there is no end. That while I'm sitting in this talk, I have achieved some pinnacle of deen, or while I'm in this with this group of people, I've achieved something in my iman. And then what happens? Within a very short period of time, it disappears. It becomes a memory. And then again, they say, well, okay, the only way to do this is, well, I have to go back into some, so I'm going to sign up for the next, you know, intensive. And then I'm going to go into that, and then I'm going to again throw this lighter fluid or whatever, this fuel onto my fire, and somehow I'll be able to ignite the love of Allah in my heart. So that's one way. And that way rarely succeeds. Rarely succeeds. Then there's another person. The other person recognizes that they have to lay down newspaper, they have to lay down Kindle, then they have to put in twigs, and then eventually they have to put in larger pieces of wood. So what do they say? Okay, they see that coming to the masjid as much as possible, this is my, you know, the foundation of igniting my love for Allah. Well, actually, tahara is the foundation, you can say. And then coming to the masjid is the Kindle. Right? And then giving zakah and serving humanity, etc., etc., these are the twigs. And then the months of Ramadan and the months of Hajj and the time of Hajj and going to Umrah, etc., these are my larger logs. However the person organizes it. But when a person has all of these pieces together, then what happens? They simply ignite the small little corner, and then they produce the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, and it provides for them warmth and so many benefits, and it continues to burn. Continues to burn. And this is something that we really have to think about, is that how do we aim to achieve what we aim to achieve? You know, are we going to simply just think that we can get excited once in a while, and then, you know, we can live our life however we want, and then all of a sudden we can get excited and we come to a place of excitement and we expect that our hearts will catch on fire? Yes, they will catch on fire. Yes, they will burn. Yes, they will produce a very high flame at times. But then when you're away and everything goes, or you disappear from the gathering and you're away, very quickly that flame will also disappear. So for us, it is a matter of making sure that we lay down all the parts together. Now, it's funny because the heart has the ability to ignite. The heart was created this way. It will ignite. Then the question is what you ignite it with. Now, you can ignite it with the love of Allah, so that becomes your passion, that becomes your light, that becomes your warmth. Or you can ignite it with the love of the dunya. Now, it's funny because the people who organize their heart in such a way that they properly ignite it with the love of Allah, then even when the dunya comes into their heart, it produces a big flame, but then it also dissipates just as quickly because it's not organized properly. You know, there's no kindle for it. You know, they haven't been sitting and pondering the world all day and thinking about how much money they're going to earn and thinking about what they're going to drive and thinking about what they're going to wear and thinking about who they're going to meet and thinking about how other people think of them and thinking about what job they're going to have. You know, all that kindle isn't there. They simply were pretty much focused on Allah, and then they get into something wrong, and then all of a sudden a big flame erupts, but then that flame never takes hold. So that's why you see that people of the deen, even when they get caught up in something in the dunya, they're very quick to recognize their mistake, make tawbah, and come back on track. You know, it never catches, you can say. The flame of the dunya never catches in their heart. Now you have the opposite person, right? This person sits down on the internet all day, is worrying about what he's going to wear or what she's going to wear. Is worrying about what she's going to drive or what he's going to drive, is worried about what other people think of them, is worried about what kind of house they're going to live in, is worried about all of these issues of the dunya. This is all kindle. This is all kindle for allowing the love of dunya to be ignited in a person's heart. Now what happens? They want to ignite the love of Allah. They come into the masjid. Yes, it will catch. But it's not going to burn because that foundation for the love of Allah is not there. And then they get caught up in something in dunya, and boom, they got a fire going. So that they're even praying and they're thinking about the dunya. In the middle of prayer, they're computing what their next paycheck is going to be. In the middle of prayer, they're thinking about, has anybody recognized that I'm wearing a new scarf today? You know, they're worried about what other people around them are thinking about. Has anybody seen my shoes? So this is basically what, remember, the heart has the ability to be ignited. Then the question is, which fire will ignite it? The fire of the love of this world or the fire of the love of the hereafter? And whatever kindle you lay down, whatever twigs you lay down, whatever foundation you lay down, that's exactly what will ignite your heart. It's very, very simple. So for us, we should be very particular about taking advantage of the times when we have the opportunity to ignite our heart. And I'll tell you that there is no better opportunity than Ramadan. You know, Ramadan, you know, like you say, once a year you do spring cleaning. So what happens? You take everything out of the house and then you reorganize everything and then you throw away the things you don't need and then you put everything back exactly the way it should be and then you don't think about it for a year. So you can say that Ramadan is like spring cleaning. It's the spring cleaning of the heart. Now what you have a chance to do is you have a chance to dump all the old Kindle. You know, if the old Kindle was sports and it was clothes and it was other people's opinion of me and it was et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you have the opportunity to remove all of that. And instead, you have the opportunity to align yourself with what does Allah think of me? What would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam think of me if he was present today? You know, am I following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Have I spent enough on others instead of spending on myself? Am I saving for the day of judgment and amassing wealth for that day rather than amassing wealth in this life? So this is the opportunity that is arising. And look, when Ramadan comes by, Ramadan is such a intense source of heat for the heart that it can ignite even the heart that's misaligned. But we have to just do a little bit to put our logs in order. You have to organize, you know, the logs so that they will catch quickly. And put a little bit of Kindle down, put some of those twigs down, put some of that newspaper there. So this is the opportunity that we have prior to the month of Ramadan. Now you see, Ramadan is coming so close. And maybe we haven't even thought about the fact that it's approaching, but we should begin to plan now how we're going to take advantage of that month. Ramadan is not something that you begin to plan the night that it begins. And it's not something that you certainly begin to plan for 20 days into it, which, you know, the vast majority of people begin to do. And unfortunately, there's some people that the whole month passes and they plan only for their Eid. So we should begin to plan for the month now. We should begin to think about what will our schedule be once Ramadan hits and begin to implement that schedule 2 weeks before, aside from the fasting, 2 weeks before. Begin to say, okay, this is the time that we're going to devote to the Quran. This is the time that we're going to be coming to the masjid. These are the things that we're going to be doing during the day and during the night. And begin to implement those things now, so that everything is laid down and everything is organized. And the things that we need to get rid of, we should eliminate them now. We should eliminate them now. So if we see that there's some big project at work, get it done now. Spend a few hours extra now. It's much better than spending it in Ramadan when you have the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, if you're organizing your schedule, you happen to be a student and you're picking your schedule, and you know that you're going to have you want to take advantage of Ramadan, shift the harder classes to the next quarter or the next semester. Begin to think about doing very simple things like this, but this is what allows us to take advantage of the month. If you have a big exam, take it now or take it after the month of Ramadan. Now, you know, we have all these luxuries in this modern era where you can realign things and you can reschedule things, so we should take advantage of it. But anyway, you know, whether you're trying to light a barbecue and you're aligning the coal, or you're just sort of just putting the coal there and just dousing it with lighter fluid, or whether you're trying to light a campfire, there are tremendous lessons to be learned. Tremendous lessons to be learned. And you can have discussions about this for hours and hours and hours. You know, if you have a piece of wood and you want to light it, it can't be wet. If it's wet, it doesn't matter how you align it. It's going to be very difficult to light it. Same thing with the heart. If you keep the heart dry of sin, it's very easy to ignite. It's like paper. It's like paper, it will burn. But if it's wet and it's soaking with sin, then you can fan it, you can light it, you can put a blowtorch on it. It's not going to burn. It won't catch. It will not catch. It will not catch. Even if you put lighter fluid on wet wood, it will not burn. That's the one time where the lighter fluid will fail you. It'll just ignite and go down immediately. So we should be also careful about making sure that our hearts are dry and not damp with sin of the eyes or sin of the tongue or sin of the ear or sin of the arms, legs, etc. You know, I mean, these are the things that we don't recognize, but they prove to be very detrimental in our development over the long term. They stunt our growth. They create a lack of ability to ignite our passion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we're empty, then we say, why is it that I don't feel the heat of the love of Allah? Why is it that I can't take the benefit of the flame of Allah's love burning in my heart? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who align our routine so that we can build a lasting relationship with Him. And may He make us among those who keep our hearts pure so that we can easily develop a relationship with Him. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ